Good morning, everyone. Today is the 29th of November, 2018. It is Thursday morning. It's about 7:30 in the morning here in Pineville, Missouri. I'm reading out of the Daily Light compilation of King James Version of the Bible. Psalm 65. One thing we have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Psalm 27:4. Good morning, Alan Taylor. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He that hath filled the hungry with good things and the rich, he hath sent away empty. Empty away. Good morning, Lee Disselhorst. Top the morning to you. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Good morning, Nan Benuhay. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. I just read from Matthew 5:6, Luke 1:53, Psalm 107:9, John 6:35, and Psalm 36:7-9. Well, we have no profit, we have no merit, we have no favor apart from the unmerited favor of God. We can't earn our way into salvation. We can't work our way into salvation. I mentioned the other day, I saw somebody posted on Facebook a picture of a beraggled old man on the side of the road with a sign, "Will work for salvation." I thought that was pretty good. That's what Martin Luther tried to do by crawling up the steps, making his knees all bloody before he came to understand the just shall live by faith. It's not the just shall live by works. You know, and a lot of people say, "Oh, Larry's antinomian, he's against works." No, I'm not against works. Apostle Paul says, "Be not weary in well-doing." But we are predestinated unto good works, okay? It's all a work of God, John 6:29. This is the work of God that you believe on him. It's not the work of ourselves. It's not a works lest any man should boast. And there's a lot of boasting going on, you know. How many baptisms we got this week? How many people we got saved in our revival? Okay. You know, the last I checked, Jesus paid it all. We didn't pay anything. And sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete. Okay, isn't that what it says? My lips will still repeat. Excuse me, Jesus paid it all. Good morning, Pedro Calabandico. Glad to have you with us this morning. I've worked a lot of jobs in my life, and I never worked all week long and would go to the boss at the end of the week to get paid, and I've never said to him, "You know, I've so much enjoyed working here all week that you don't owe me anything. You just eat the check for yourself." But that's what Christ did. Christ came down here, took on the form of a servant, came from the ivory palaces above and went to a cruel and rugged cross and says, you don't owe me anything. You don't owe me anything. I did it all because I loved you. It was a voluntary act of God Almighty to choose out a people for himself, to come and die for himself, to shed his blood on the cross for a people for himself. There's nothing we can do to earn this salvation that he's already purchased for us. You know, there's a lot of volunteer services throughout the United States and the world, you know, where people volunteer their time. And a lot of them are probably pretty good to give to other people and charitable organizations and so on. But what are the, oftentimes the motives behind volunteering are what you're going to get back. The attaboys you're going to get. The little merits of honor, the little awards you're going to get. How you're going to look in society by doing all these things. You know, I've had people in the past give me resumes, and on their resumes it's got all their volunteer services. What's the purpose of that? Are they going to, if I give them a job, are they going to volunteer for me? I think not. And so the interesting thing I'm trying to point out this morning is that salvation is a free gift. And there's no expectations. God didn't look down through the portals of time. Good morning, Kyle Shupi. God didn't look down through the portals of time to say, well, he's going to be a pretty good guy, so I think I'm going to shed my blood for him. No. He didn't look down through the portals of time and say, well, I know Larry Phillips is going to choose me. No. There's no way that I, who was dead in my trespasses and sin, would have ever chosen Christ. I didn't have the ability to choose Christ. I didn't have the ability to have faith in Christ or to fill out even the decision card for Christ. You know, God is the one who works in us both the will and the do of his good pleasure. And so that's what I really like to remind people, because we're in a society all the way through university, it was plowed into my head that man has a free will and that he can determine his own destiny. He can determine his own by his own choices. You can become anything you want to be. I've often told people, if you ever have a handicap or a multiply handicapped child or a disabled child, you will learn to dispel that very notion that man can become anything he wants to be. It's a lie. That's why I wrote the book, The Lies of Free Will. Do you control your own destiny? You know? And one of my classmates in high school ended up being a pilot for American Airlines. And he's adamant free willer. And that's what really prompted me to put the picture of this plane, commercial aircraft, on here in this thunder lightning storm. Do you think that pilot is going to be in control as to whether he comes down safely or not? And I've had people, oh, well, they're well trained to operate in storms and so on. Let me tell you something. If it's predestined for that plane to go down, it will go down. Okay? Well, regardless of what the pilot does. Because God is actually the pilot. You know, people talk about God being their co-pilot. No. You know, and I've shared this before on sermon audio on Facebook. When I was in high school, I had a friend of mine. Her name was Maydeen, and she had this Mustang, this old beat up Mustang, all dents all over it. I don't know where she got it from, a salvage yard or what, But anyway, she had on the bumper, God is my co-pilot. And so I was kidding around with her one day. And I said, Nadine, you've got to take that bumper sticker off your car. That's not a good representation of God at all. Okay. Anyway, that's kind of the idea that a lot of people have, you know. Look, apart from the almighty sovereign act of God, our lives are ruined. We are bound for a destiny of being totally lost. In fact, the scripture says that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. And apart from the Holy Spirit of God breathing life into us, we will never, ever have any hope of eternal life. But when Christ, through his Holy Spirit, causes us to be born again. Now, if you hear the noise in the background, it's my wife. She's getting ready to put a turkey in the oven, and she's trying to get it all packaged up. She does it a certain way, so that's the noise you're hearing. But anyway, I just like to reaffirm this morning that the salvation is of the Lord. That's what Jonah said. It's all of God. You know, it's not of us. You know, baptism doesn't save us. Taking communion doesn't save us. Filling out a decision card doesn't save us. Being a member of the church doesn't save us. Being a part of creeds, confessions, and synods and sessions doesn't save us. Jesus Christ alone is the one who causes us to be born again. And when that happens, we are given faith to believe the gospel. And we embrace the gospel. John 6:37 says, all that the Father hath given me will come to me. And all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Good morning, Dan Richardson. Glad to have you with us this morning. Well, let us be thankful for this great gift that God has given us. And we are very grateful, and we praise him, we honor him, we extol him for his goodness and his grace to unworthy subjects such as every one of us. And I'm looking forward today to meeting all of God's elect people in the greatest family reunion that's ever going to take place. And it's not going to be a family reunion for a couple hours. It's going to be a family reunion for eternity, an eternal family reunion. And we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Scripture says that we cannot even comprehend what he has in store for us. Even though he tells us in Ephesians that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Not some, but all. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around why we, the likes of us, he would ever shower such favor to and grace and mercy to bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Well, this morning I hope you have a good Thursday morning. And I hope that this has been edifying to you. And I want to read a couple things out of this Poems for Edification, Volume 4. That's my son and my wife there on the front. My beautiful wife of 44 years. She's been such a wonderful blessing. And my son, I love dearly. He's been through an awful lot. Many of you know he has a brain degenerative disease, and he has to be on an inhibitor medication to slow down the production of dopamine in his brain. But you know, God is the grace. Whatever we go through, he is faithful and just. And anyway, I want to read. This is called purpose. God's purposes are eternal in scope and decree. Yes, He chose me in past eternity. Before He created the earth, God gave me to Christ and decided to give me new birth. This eternal purpose by my eternal King secured new life He would to me bring, and that He would breathe into my spiritually dead soul. New life was predetermined. His purpose was controlled. This eternal purpose had nothing to do with me. It was settled in heaven before creation in past eternity. The choice to give me eternal life was in God's eternal decree. What great comfort this brings to my soul to know my Savior, my past, present, and future is controlled. And it does give me great comfort, I must say. A lot of people deny election and predestination. But when they deny it, they just deny the Word of God, don't they? And I refer them to Ephesians 1 and 2, Romans 8, 28 through 36, Romans 9, John 6, John 10, John 17, John 8. The next one is entitled, Why? Why? Why would Christ care for a sinner like me? Why would He love me before the foundation of the world? Why would He suffer and die on the cross? Why would He pay such a tremendous cost? Why would He promise to come again for me? Why would He send a comforter while I await His return? Why would He love me forever, never from me to turn? He did it because He loved me, not because of any good that I would do or have done. He did it because the Father gave me to His Son. He did it because of an eternal pact, the victory He has won. This love I will never fully grasp or understand, but love answers the why. It was His eternal plan. Now, there are a whole group of people out there that think that everything's coming up roses. And, you know, they're what I call the name it and claim it group. Okay? There are certain things that God did say in His Word, and there are certain things He did not say. And even if everything is coming up roses, there are even thorns among the roses, aren't there? Okay. This is called Christ did not say. Christ did not say it would be an easy road. He did not say there would be no suffering or pain. He did not say we would not be scoffed and ridiculed. Christ did not say we would not be held in disdain. But Christ did say, I will never leave you or forsake you. He did say, come unto me and I will give you rest. He did say, underneath me are His everlasting arms. And He did say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I'm thankful for what Christ did say. Amen. Well, the last one I'm going to read is I'm a sinner saved by grace. Let it never be misunderstood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I'm a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserve the wrath of God, and it was placed on Christ instead. When I think how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel, rugged tree and cry out while He was dying to forgive a sinner like me? What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness He'd show when I deserve to be cast into hell to there forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity for Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. Well, God bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you is my prayer this morning. God bless.